May 30th, Wednesday of the 8th week in Ordinary Time. The first reading comes from the first letter of Peter, chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. This is a continuation of the theme that we've been hearing the last couple days, that we've been called to an incredible dignity. In order to emphasize that idea, Peter today speaks about how the price that God paid for our souls was not silver or gold, but rather the blood of the spotless Lamb. That Jesus died for us out of love for us. And so that should show how lovable we are, how beloved we are in the eyes of God. And that's the dignity to which we've been called. And if we have embraced that offer of unconditional love of God, then we have to live in that unconditional love. We have to live a dignified lifestyle. Because our life and our call are not something like the grass of the field, which blooms one day and withers the next. Rather, it's an imperishable call. These things have to do with eternity, not just with our everyday lives. So it's not simply a question of what I do on Wednesday of the 8th week of Ordinary Time. It's what I do for the sake of the kingdom. It's what I do so that today will be the dawning of my eternal life. Because my eternal life doesn't begin when I die. It begins here on this earth, and it continues in a transformed way when I enter into heaven. Heaven is not an annihilation of what I'm living. It's a transformation and continuation. The gospel is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verses 32 to 45. Now, this is the third time in the Gospel of Mark that Jesus predicts his passion. And in fact, he predicts it in a rather graphic way. Typical of these three predictions, what's the response of the disciples? It's inappropriate. James and John come up to Jesus, and they say, "When you get to your kingdom, can we sit on your right and left?" He's just predicted that he's going to die, and they're concerned, what are they going to get out of it? It's as if you were to go up to your best friend and say, "I'm dying of cancer," and the best friend would say, "What a shame, but can I have your car when you're gone?" It's just totally inappropriate. So what does Jesus say? "Are you ready to drink of the chalice that I'm to drink of? Are you ready to be baptized with the baptism I'll receive?" The chalice, remember how when he consecrates the chalice at the Last Supper, he speaks about it being his blood poured out, a phrase taken from the Song of the Suffering Servant, the idea that it involves his suffering and death for the sake of others. And if we drink of that chalice, it means we're not only drinking of the death of Jesus, but we're also participating in that death. Likewise, baptism. In baptism, we're being born to new life, but we're also dying to the old life. We're making a choice to be crucified to this world. And so he asks James and John if they're ready for that. They say yes, but he says, "Even so, it's not mine to decide who's going to sit on my right and left. That's up to God." Well, what's the response of the other disciples? They're indignant. Because here James and John were trying to pull an end run around them. They were trying to get power and authority while they were left in the dust. And Jesus is just as upset about their reaction as he was about James and John's. And so he says to them, "The lords of the Gentiles lord it over their subjects, but it shouldn't be that way among you. You've come to serve, because the Son of Man came to serve and be a ransom for many. That's what you are all about too." So Christianity has nothing to do with what we can get out of God. That if we're good Christians, as we heard yesterday, he'll make our business successful. That's not the message. The message, rather, is Christianity is the call to generosity and service. And so that should be our question. How can I better serve others? And may God bless us.
This presentation has been brought to you by Franciscans.org. Join the Brotherhood.